to the Representing Rural podcast by Rural Community Alliance, and we're continuing our Rural Roots series. And today we have Shalundra Smith from the community of Hughes. Hi, Shalundra.
Hello.
How are you today?
How are you?
Just fine.
I'm doing good.
Okay, so we just want to start out with a little more information about you and your community, and one special thing that you want people not from Hughes to know about Hughes.
So I am 33 years old. I've been in Hughes pretty much all of my life. A couple of years, I went as far as Lee County, but never too far. I love Hughes. Hughes is home, of course. We do have some areas that need some major improvement, but we also have some things that just make it all the more special. One thing that I would want people to know that are not from Hughes is that a lot of people say that Hughes is dead or that there is no hope. And I don't think a lot of people realize how much talent and potential and how many ideas and efforts are started in Hughes. And so I would just like for people to know that there is still life here, even though our appearance, you know, could stand some improvement and things of that nature, which a lot of places have the same issue. But that's one thing that I would want people to know, that there is still life and hope in Hughes.
I love that. Just from my experience from the outside looking in, especially over this past year that we've been in this pandemic, the year plus, just the businesses that have opened there, and that speaks volumes of the leadership, I feel. And I may be biased, but for those not that don't know, Lincoln Barnett, who's also an RCA staff member, he is the mayor of Hughes. And sometimes, yes, a lot of times it takes a person that's willing to change and has that vision for better in order to kind of ignite other people that may have been sitting with these ideas for years. But when they know they have, right, someone in leadership, yeah, that supports them, that makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll get into the other questions that I have for you. Okay. So the first is, what is the biggest issue in your community?
Right now, I want to say that the biggest issue in the community is probably not having a school. And I'm probably saying that just because my passion lies with cultivating, you know, leaders. And so I think that, yeah, by our school not being here anymore, a lot of the parents and community are not able to be as deeply and involved and supportive of our kids as we, mm-hmm, were when they were here. So small things make a difference, you know, the community members being able to come into the gym when the school was here, even if they didn't have kids in school, they were receiving awards at the assemblies. Yes. Even if they didn't have children who were playing sports, you know, when everything was here, it was more of a, it was easier to have that support and motivation behind our children, where now, you know, pretty much if you don't have a way 30 miles out of town to support your kids, you know, they're doing a lot away from home. And so I think that affects the community a lot. It affects the community a lot, and it takes away a lot of the morale that a school culture brings to a town. And, mm-hmm, so we kind of lost that. So if you don't have, you know, your peewee teams or something outside of what the school district provides, you don't have your homecomings and stuff like that. So I think that that is a major issue when it comes to our children.
You know, I can, you know, I understand that. It just, you know, our school in Elaine was closed in 2006, and I'm sitting in that building now. So it's just, it's so heartbreaking to,
it is,
to know, to see that, you know, we still have these facilities here that can be used. And
right,
because of a law, yeah, because of a law, in my opinion, that was just pure retaliation. We have to ship our children off to a neighboring district. So,
right.
Just, it's nothing like losing that, your school district, your local school district for a small community.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it was our recreation. That was something that the whole community, if we had something to do, we had something.
Right.
Okay. So, attached to that, what do you see as the greatest opportunity in your community?
I would say the greatest opportunity is something that we already kind of mentioned, which was this kind of being a training or preparation ground for entrepreneurs. A lot of people who start things here start because they're comfortable, because this is a close-knit community for the most part. And so pretty much whatever a person tries to do, you're going to have their community support. And so even me myself have, you know, started multiple things. And so it teaches you a lot about business and about marketing and branding. It teaches you a lot about giving back when you're in a position to do so, and providing service or information or whatever it is that you have to offer. I think the greatest opportunity is just learning things that you could use beyond, because we know sometimes in small towns, people may come back here and settle, but for the most part, when kids grow up, they, you know, go places and do different things. And I think Hughes is just a place that gives us the opportunity to explore and kind of find your passion and your talent and your skill in certain things. And so it just allows a starting place for growth. And I think that's
because we had a chance to RCA membership when we met for our regional summit that we were having, summits that we were having before the uptick in COVID. One of the businesses from Hughes catered. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And see, that was probably like one of their first times, or one of the first few times of them even catering an event. And they probably taught them how to look into, okay, we need to look into pricing for this and stuff like that. And so it just provides so much opportunity and pricking so much curiosity where people will begin to want to expand. And so that's one thing that I love about being here.
So what law do you think would be beneficial for rural communities like Hughes?
A law. I guess one thing that I would say is the laws when it comes to drugs and the possession of drugs. And I say this because, you know, we're in a small town and where every place is going to have some of the similar problems. It seems to be bigger, especially when it's on a smaller scale. And so where when you might go to a big city in just one corner, or you say, you know, that's the bad area or whatever, or that's the crime infested area, and you can be able to isolate that to one part. When you're in a small town, just a little bit of that makes a huge difference. And so I really think that some of the laws and stuff that concern like drug possession, especially like marijuana, Just because the laws on marijuana are so different in each place, like where some places it's not a problem, and then you may go to another place and you may get 30 years for the same mm-hmm. thing. I really just feel like instead of punishing people so cruelly for stuff like that, that I think that we probably need a stronger rehabilitation area versus the punishment. I just think the punishment and the jails and stuff like that are so much more relevant in this area than the actual rehabilitation for those crimes. So I don't know how I would bring that down into a specific law, but that's just where I am with that subject. I feel like the laws and stuff on like drug use and abuse, the laws and the punishment are so much more heavier than the rehabilitation that is available. And so that's one thing that I would change.
So focusing more on like helping people beyond that lifestyle or
right, because when you lock them up and you for that and you let them out and the same area is still so much saturated with the same thing, then what? It's just a never ending cycle.
Just waiting to get some kind of way drawn back into that same system that put them in this situation. Right, so
because I've seen so many people from my area go to rehabilitation centers and they get out and they tell you, I was just without the drug, but nothing changed within my mindset. So they're really just forced to be sober for a period of time. But mm-hmm. the rehabilitation and what's put into really making a turnaround, I don't think is being presented as much as it should be. And that's just from speaking to people who have real life experience what Arkansas has to offer when it comes to rehabilitating people with those issues.
Wow. That's good stuff, Jalandra. It really is. That makes a lot of sense to me. Maybe it's not just one law. Maybe it's a set of laws or standards to really make sure that we help people beyond this, because a lot of these things, or they get into these situations because of childhood trauma or things that they've experienced in life that they just aren't able to handle in any other way. So I'm with you. We do need more attention on like, okay, what happens after, you know, they get out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. So my final question is, you know, RCA has a vision for just and thriving rural Arkansas. So how do you think we get there? And it may not be, I know it's not just one magic bullet, but what is a part of that recipe that you feel that needs to happen for us to get to a just and thriving rural Arkansas?
Well, when I think of just and thriving, one of the first things that comes to my mind is leadership. And so, like I said, I really believe in children and them being the future. So I really feel like raising kids and supporting children who will one day be leadership. Not that it's too late for the people who are already there. You always want to encourage and support any improvement or evolution in that area. But as far as the people who are going to take over these things when we are no longer here, it's very important to be raising leaders. And mm-hmm. I think the biggest part of that is being, you know, I think in a lot of areas we have gotten away from the village. And I think they're raising strong kids that will be prepared for leadership takes being the responsible examples and adults that we need to be, so that they can say, I want to be like such and such when I'm older, or I've always wanted to do what Mr. such and such does, instead of being instead of saying that I never want to do what they're doing or what I see them doing. So that's one thing that I think being a strong support system and good examples for the future leaders is what's gonna make a just and thriving Arkansas, because we're the ones who are and so it's important to be cultivating that right now.
Okay. It kind of broke up when you said we are the ones who
We are the ones who are raising the future prosecutors and judges and police officers. Mm. And so it's important that we are preparing them for that already.
That's good stuff. We are. It's kind of scary when you think about
it. Exactly.
We are. So we have to raise or to make sure that we nurture this next generation to understand the importance of having mercy and grace and just respect for other people. Mm-hmm.
And that the respect is huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, I have loved talking to you, Shalandra. So is there anything else that you would like to add?
I just want to say that I appreciate RCA's efforts and anybody who's even willing to consider these things and find ways to implement, you know, ways to improve, because a lot of times small communities are just counted out, and that shouldn't mm-hmm. be so, because even the people that are in what we consider to be the big and thriving places came from somewhere. So
yeah. And thank you for just staying in news and having the passion and the want to make a difference. And because we still have children in these very small communities, and they need people that are good examples and can help them become the future leaders of our rural communities and our state. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I've enjoyed talking to you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you take care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Representing Rural Podcast. So as usual, we'll leave you with a few tidbits that we call our rural power moves. So the first one is to just remain engaged or stay engaged or get engaged with your become engaged with your elected officials. If that goes from the local level of school board member, city council, mayor, up to our state level, our representatives, our senators, and even the congressional leaders that we have. Make sure they know about our very rural communities and the things that we need and the things that we face. There's a lot of opportunity now around making sure that our voices are heard, especially with significant funding coming down the pipeline that we've never experienced before for rural places. So not just on the funding side, but just the advocacy side altogether. It's just time for us to make sure that our elected officials, the people that we have put into these offices, know us, know our communities, and know our needs and how they can best serve us. So please just make sure that you are engaged on that front. The second thing would be to just try to stay engaged with the whole process of redistricting. As you all probably know, our congressional map has been drawn. That was approved by the legislature a couple weeks ago when they came back to officially end their 2021 legislative session. Those two bills, they were the same map. One was on the Senate side, one was on the House side, the same map. And they went to the governor's desk. He did not sign them. He did not veto them. So after a certain amount of days, he can take no, he even if he doesn't take any action, they become law. So that map that the legislator came up with when they came back into session earlier this month, that is our congressional map for the next 10 years, unless some lawsuit is filed and they're forced to do some redrawing of it. But from my understanding, that will be our congressional map. Again, I would want you all to become familiarized with that. I believe for the most part, most people stayed, a lot of people stayed in their current congressional district. There was quite a bit of
I don't know the word to use, but Pulaski County, they have been split, I believe, into three congressional districts. So that's a bit of a change for people residing there. And there's another county, I believe Sebastian, that has experienced a split, or maybe it's one similar to what they already had. But it's just good for us to know what's going on. And I hope, you know, going into the next 10 years after the next census count, that we're all more engaged and knowledgeable of this process. So now is the time to just make sure that you get a grasp on everything that went on in the process and everything that happened, because it's going to happen again in 10 years. Hopefully sooner, but you know, the pandemic pushed the census numbers officially being released back. So that's why they had to come back and end the session this month. The congressional, not the congressional, but the redistricting for our state seats, our representatives and our senators, Governor Hutchinson announced yesterday, Friday, that he would call the Board of Apportionment, or the Board of Apportionment would come into session on the 29th, October the 29th, Friday. I believe it's at 10:30 a.m. Those meetings, of course, can be viewed online. You can go to Arkansas Board Apportionment website, and I'll link that in this podcast episode, just so you can make sure that you have all the information you need. We'll also be able to post that on our social media pages. But apparently those three maps that I probably referenced a couple episodes ago, or maybe one episode ago, that the Board of Apportionment agreed upon, they will be released and public comment time starts. So that is when they need us to say, okay, we agree on this map, we don't agree on this map, we like this map, this is this, and this is how we feel about it, this is our opinion. So next Friday, when those maps are released, it is very important for us to make sure that we participate in the public comment portion of this map selection or approval process. I believe they were wanting to say that they would be finished by Thanksgiving, but they do have a deadline to finish by December 31st, the end of this year. I know they did have a deadline that they wanted to finish before that, and it seems like they're ready to wrap that up. So just be on the lookout for that meeting announcement, or sharing the information that we will on our social media pages about that Board of Apportionment meeting. And of course, the Board of Apportionment is composed of our governor, secretary of state, and our attorney general. So it's three people. Of course, they have drawers that help them do the maps, but those are the three people that pretty much decide the map that we will have for our senators and our representatives for the next 10 years. So as always, you all take care, and I thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Representing Rural Podcast.